Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to scripture. Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it a privilege, Lord, to be able to come in together here, Lord, in this building that you provided for us. Lord, we just ask now that as your presence has been with us in the songs, that it'll come now, dear God, and just open to us the word. It'll be encouraging and uplifting and strengthening and help to your people, Lord. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to continue to on our subject of the purpose of angels. Luke chapter 1 and verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. You may be seated. Brother Branham says an unchangeable word of God. He says, Zacharias' order at the temple was to burn incense while the people were praying. And while he was burning incense, on the right side of the altar came the angel. If you ever notice, he said, my healing services, I bring people from my right. It's because the angel Lord always comes on my right side. I want him to meet the people so they'll have the anointing when they come up here, that he can tell them and bless them. Right side of the altar stood the angel of the Lord, and he said to Zacharias, God has answered your prayers. Now, the altar of incense, they burn incense there on that altar to be offered up with the prayers of the saints. Let's look at the altar of incense just a moment. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 30. And verse 1 of chapter 30. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. Now drop down to verse 6. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresses the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighted the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord. That means, a perpetual means a continual. And throughout your generations, ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. So this is the altar of incense. Now the altar of burnt offering stood in the outer court of the tabernacle. And that was where they came and made a blood sacrifice. And that represented, the representation of that was the representation of Christ as being a sacrifice for their sins. That's where they come and said, Lord, forgive me. But this is the altar of incense. And on that altar, there was no blood sacrifice given. There was no drink offering. There was no meat offering. It wasn't that type of an altar. It was an altar where they burn incense. And they kept a continual burning of the incense. It was perpetual incense, it says. So they continued to burn it. And it was... this altar was given to identify with the believer keeping in fellowship with God. This altar was represented the believer's own prayer life with God as he approaches the presence of God. Turn with me to Revelations chapter 8. Revelations chapter 8, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Now, as I said, this wasn't a sacrificial altar, not a place for an offering of blood. It was the prayers of the saints coming up through the dimension of time, and they before they could come into the presence of God, they needed to be mixed with something. And so God had commissioned an angel there at the at this altar that's in heaven. That altar of incense that was represented on earth is an altar that's in heaven. And there's an angel that is commissioned to stand there at that altar and to offer up incense that is to be mixed with your prayers as you pray before God. And you wonder why? Well, many times, there are times we pray contrary to the will of God. There's times that we pray selfishly, and we would you those a prayer like that can't come up before God. So as it's mixed with the incense, it's able to change that into something that a prayer that would be acceptable to God. Sometimes our prayers, like I said, is wrong. But this it said, and was given to him much incense. Now it meant it wasn't incense that the angel it came from the angel himself, but it was incense that was given unto him. And it said much was given unto him. So to be given to him, it had to be given by someone. Who would it be given by? By a mediator. And that mediator is Christ. So there was given to this angel much incense to offer up, and it needed to flavor and make the prayers of the saints of aroma that was pleasant and acceptable to God. So when the prayers came up, they weren't so selfish, self-centered, temperamental, and they would be acceptable to God. Brother Branham says, when the prayers leave this world, they come into a place that he called prayer land, the land of prayer. And he said, there is an angel there to mix a prayer with incense. And I like that Brother Branham actually called that particular place with the altar in heaven, he called it prayer land, where the prayers come up. And the angel would burn this incense that would be mixed with our prayers. The prayers sometimes is contrary to God. And the sweet aroma of the incense will be able to change it before it comes into the presence of God. Now, this is offered with the prayers of the saints, not instead of. So you got to pray. This doesn't take the place of your prayers, but it's offered with your prayers. And there's two parts, your prayer mixed with the incense, and then that comes up before God. You think about that. That I'm glad that that is actually there. For the times that I've got down and prayed and thought that I was praying toward something in a certain way, and to come to find out that wasn't the way God was going to do it at all. Sometimes, like I said, we pray, we're kind of self-centered in our prayer. We go to pray about a situation and we go praying for the other person involved instead of praying for ourselves. Sometimes we need to pray, you see, to get it resolved and have this to go away. Sometimes you need to take a look at yourself and pray for yourself. Lord, if there's something in me. But when you come up praying all the time for the other fellow, there needs to be some incense mixed with that. Because it can't come up as an accusation before God. Amen. Does everybody understand that? Amen. Now, I want to move on to something else. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you'll turn there with me. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So Paul here distinguishes the difference between the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, the language of angels. Turn me to Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searches the hearts, knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Brother Branham says in Questions and Answers COD book, he said, Paul spoke over here in Corinthians where you was asking here. He said, there are tongues of angels and there's tongues of men. Now, the tongues of angels is when a man's praying to him and God alone. But when he's speaking a language, it's to be interpreted in church for an edification of the church. Now, Brother Branham is making a distinguish between this speaking in tongues with no interpretation. He said, that's for you when you are in your prayer alone with God. But if it comes in the congregation and someone speaks out in tongues, then there needs to be an interpretation of it. Paul says, we couldn't all come together just speaking in tongues. People would think it was just a bunch of confusion. And the Holy Spirit's not an author of confusion. Now, speaking with tongues of angels, he said that's when you're in prayer, just you and God alone. Brother Branham gives an example of this. He says, and also here in Questions and Answers, it's in the same section. He goes on to give an example and says, there's two different tongues of angels. That's man's private prayer out yonder somewhere, speaking to God in angelic tongues. Now, he said, I can give you a case right now. Brother Branham was at a place he was supposed to go into this meeting, and he felt troubled. And he told Billy Paul, said, you go on and go on to the meeting. And he said, aren't you going to go? And he said, something just wasn't letting him rest. He felt so troubled. He said, go on, he said, and just tell Brother Baxter to go ahead and speak. And so as Billy went to go on, Brother Branham got down to pray. Brother Branham said while he was praying, he heard someone speaking in another language. It sounded like it was outside of his door. And he said he paused to listen to it. He said he couldn't understand it. And he said, but it sounded like somebody was speaking in German to him. And he thought, well, nobody's going to understand what that person's saying. And he says, as he thought on that, all of a sudden he realized it wasn't somebody outside of his door, but it was him. That it was coming from him. And he said that was the tongues of angels. And he said then he, after that, he got up and told Billy, says, I'm going to go on down to the meeting now. And he went down there, and after he preached, got done preaching, there was a lady that rose up way back in the back and was shouting. And so they felt to find out what she was shouting about. They sent a microphone up to her, Brother Branham said. And what had happened, she was on her way to the meetings. They were bringing her. She had tuberculosis of the lungs, and she was dying. And they were bringing her in an old 38 model car. And I think he said it was a 38 Chevrolet, I think is what Brother Branham said. But he said they were bringing her in this old car. And as they got her, she kept getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And as they got on down, she felt like she was going to die. And she didn't want to die in the car, so she told him, said, stop the car and get me out here and lay me out on the grass. And so they stopped and got her out of the car, laid her out onto the grass, and here she thought she was going to die. And then all of a sudden, something struck her. And her breath came back to her, and she jumped to her feet, and they said, went running down this road just to praising God. And they didn't know what had hit place. There was a sudden change. Brother Branham asked them, said, what time did that happen? And they told him the time that it happened. He said, that was the exact time that I was praying in that angelic tongue. Brother Branham said, see there? He said, it was intercession for this saint. He said that I didn't know her. I didn't know what to pray for. He said, but God knowed, and he said, and he sent his angel to press upon me, and I began to speak of things I didn't know anything about. And it saved that woman's life. Brother Branham, in another place, he was talking about being pressed on by the Holy Spirit. He said, there was something that was really being pressed on him about a baby. But there was a baby that needed prayer, but said he didn't know where the baby was. And he asked his wife if she knew of any sick babies. She said no. And then he thought about a little Ledford baby that he had prayed for. In the service, her little sister jumped up and said, pray for my baby sister. And he had, and it was homesick, so he thought, well, maybe it's that baby. So they looked up the address and phone number of the Ledford so that they could see if it was that baby. But it turned out, no, that was a week. That had happened a week ago. That baby was well. But it just kept pressing upon him. He says it wouldn't move from him. It just kept pressing on him. And he said, so he went in to pray, and he was praying for a baby, but he didn't know what baby he was praying for, but knew there was a sick baby somewhere, so he was going to prayer and praying for it. And then he got a hold of Sister Cox and was wondering there in Kentucky if there was some sick baby or something somebody had said something about. And as he was searching like that, and then I believe it was her that called back up to him and said, yes, there's a baby, it's in the hospital sick, and said it needs a blood transfusion. And so Brother Branham then left and went there to the hospital and asked where the child was. And by the time he had got in there, the child was laying there just cooing and kicking its legs and said it had just nursed from a bottle. And Brother Ram said, see, he said that was the Spirit giving intercession for that child. That he said, I didn't even know where that child was. He said, but it just kept pressing on me. He says, and then I prayed for it. He says, and God healed the child before I even got there to it. Hallelujah. Boy, isn't this something? We got angels that stand by an altar in heaven to offer up incense with our prayers to make them acceptable. Then we got angels on the earth that can make us speak into an angelic tongue for things that we have no idea we even have need of. Well, the angels, there's a lot of angels, and they got a lot of different jobs, don't they? And at that word, Lord, Brother Branham talks about the difference between the angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, I love him, how wonderful. I wish you could feel that glorious feeling here. Not only is angel of the Lord here tonight, but the Holy Spirit's here. He said, the angel of the Lord, it seems to me, is kind of settled. But the Holy Spirit makes the people rejoice and happy, and that's what it does. So the angel, he said, is kind of settled. But the Holy Spirit makes the people happy, makes them rejoice. He says again in Balm in Gilead, he says, what makes these people, to you who doesn't have the Holy Spirit, what comes upon them that just sends their souls into shouting a few moments? It's a baptism, something that sways down across them and fills their hearts with power and goodness and mercy, and the Holy Spirit makes them just raise their hands and scream. They cannot contain it any longer. What is it? It's the balm. It's the balm to their soul that lets them know that they have passed from death unto life. Have you ever witnessed that within yourself? Amen. Amen. He says here in the time of decision, says, there's an elderly lady sitting here with a red looking dress on, her hands like this. You're praying, and you're praying for God to heal you. I don't know you, God does. If the Lord will tell me what you're praying for, will you accept it and believe that his angel has come here to bless you? So here was this person praying. They were in need. And there was an angel that had come there just to bless that person. He said, for over you stands that light. He said, you got arthritis and nervousness. That's right. Raise your hand. All right. Have you made your decision? All right. Go home and forget about ever being sick. Isn't that something? He said, just go home and forget about even being sick. Could we do that? It don't take a prophet to tell us that. Amen. We could be prayed for, and if we've got faith, we could go home and not even think no more about being sick. The angel of the commission, he says, I see a patient standing here right in there. Looks like above them I can see things and hear him tell. You've heard it been told everything they've done in their life. Is that right? I heard him even repeat the prayer over that they had said to God. So here's an angel. This person had prayed, and this angel come to Brother Branham and repeated to him what that person had prayed. He said all kinds of sins and things that they've done would be revealed. And it's been perfect every time. It never fails. Well, the angels got a lot to do with prayer, don't they? And I'll tell you what, I believe that it was Daniel praying for 21 days. I believe it was Daniel's continuous prayer going up that brought about the coming down of Michael to set free the angel that had the answer for Daniel. 3 witnesses, he says, God grant now that tonight the angels, legions of them, will come down into this building. May every unkind thought, everything that's not faith, be pushed back. And may there be such a respond and a combustion of faith until the cripples will raise up from the chairs. May even every cancer be healed, every tubercle, every heart trouble, And may the glory of God so fill the building that it'll be like the days of old when Solomon dedicated the temple and the Holy Ghost came in or the fire and settled down over the altar. May the great angel of God, who has guided thy servant, now spread forth his wings over this building here. And may the dewdrops of mercy and healing powers of God drip upon each soul until faith goes, surpasses all doubt, up into the realms beyond this. God, wake us up from this sense-bound dream that we're in. May we be on this sphere into a place where all things are possible. And there lay hold of eternal life and divine healing. And tonight walk out of here victorious in Christ Jesus. So first he prays that God will send down angels to push back every unkind thought, to push back everything that that's not faith, that all doubt, to push that back. And then says, now may the angel spread his wings over the congregation. So they've pushed everything, all doubt out. They've pushed out all unkind thoughts. And once they're out, then the angel spreads his wings over the congregation. What? That there'll be no more come in. So that there'd just be faith and believing God in the building. Protecting from any demons that would want to come and bring disruption in service. Because the angel's wings were spread over the people. Now, you remember we said something about Elijah at Dothan when the king had sent men down there to get Elijah because that one of his men had told him, said, there's a man down there in Israel that tells the king of Israel what you're saying in your bedchambers. And so they sent down there to get Elisha, and when they come down, why, the servant of Elisha went out and said, we're encompassed about with a great number of men, and he was fearful, and Elisha said, well, there's more with us than there is with them. Now you imagine this servant looking and saying, let me recount this. One, two. And you said there's more with us than there's with them. And so then Elisha asked God, laid his hand over on him and asked God, said, open his eyes. And when he did, then he was able to see that there was chariots of fire and horses and angels in the chariots all around him. And then he was able to see there was more with them than there was with the Syrians. Brother Bram says this and shows us, the father said, when his eyes come open to see the spiritual world, all around that old prophet was angels. The mountains was on fire with angels of chariots of fire. And there's a world right here now in this building are legions of angels. Jesus said it in Psalms by King David that the angel of God are camped about those who fear him. So look at the believers here, those who fear God. So the angels are everywhere. And if you could just worship God and open your eyes, you'd find out God's all around us. And you wonder what happened to change this place over the years. Where you didn't come in here and have this dread feeling, depressed feeling. What changed the atmosphere in this church over the years? It wasn't me. God sent me to be his vessel, but it wasn't me that changed it. God changed it. But how did he change it? God had angels assigned to this assembly to push back all those feelings of depression, to push back all those unkind thoughts, to push back all of that. And the people who didn't want to give them up, they got pushed on out with it. I asked Brother Dan Daisley one time, excuse me, I said, "Brother, I got a person that started to come to the church," and I said, "I can see a spirit all over him." And I said, "I don't know exactly what to do." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what Brother Green told me," he said. "He said, every time you get up there, you hammer that spirit until either the spirit leaves or the person leaves. One or the other, you're going to get that spirit out of there," he said. "You just keep hammering at it every time. Works." Well, how does it work? What is it? God's got angels of God here. Hallelujah. We look around and we see, just a few that we have. Like on Thursday night, I said, I'm glad they said we're two or three are gathered. We didn't have many folks here on Thursday night. But you know what? There were still angels here all around us. Hallelujah. It don't matter how many you got gathering together. You know, I'd like to see more people. Not so we'd have a bigger church, but I just wonder, is there other people out there that belong to God? Are there other souls out there that could give their soul, their life to God, that they would be saved in this lost world? That's what's on my heart. Brother Branham said, talking about the time that he was baptizing down on the river, and the angel of the Lord came down to witness over him and said, "As John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall you forerun my second coming." And he said there was thousands of people down there. And he said, not all of them saw that angel. Some of them testified and said, yes, they saw it. But there's others down there, he said, they said, "I didn't see a thing." And he said, then there were some that said, "Well, that was just your imagination. People just imagined that that happened." Brother Ram said, they didn't imagine it. He said, because later, he came down in the form of a pillar of fire and had his picture taken with us. And he said, and you can't take a picture of imagination. And he said, Brother Bram talked about that pillar of fire. He said, when it had his picture taken, he said, with us, he said, it wasn't for me. It was for you, God's people. That's why he came down. But Brother Bram said, he comes to those and shows himself to those that are expecting him. Amen. We should come in our service expecting to see God. Amen? Friends, look, there's a supernatural world all around us. Brother Bram says, in this message of everlasting life, he was talking about that again and how people had said that they imagined it. And he said, if you stood here tonight and looked, that angel circling, there's many of you here perhaps never seen it, but see the light, a pillar of fire that led the children of Israel that came in the prison cells with Peter, delivered him from prison, this same angel of the Lord. Here it is, all those hundreds, yes, thousands of years. It's still here with us now. It had its picture standing where I was standing. He says a little further down, he says, what if the angel of the Lord was standing here now, circling every one of your eyes, would be visualized to see it? That would be pretty good. But to look at a picture of it, as far as proof, if you're looking with your eyes, he said a person could imagine it until it to them became a reality. He said, but it was taking a picture of it, and that was reality. There was something else Brother Branham dropped in there. It didn't really have anything to do with the angel of the Lord and that, but I concluded it because he said, he went on to talk about imagination. And he said, you just imagine somebody hates you. And they don't hate you, but you imagine they do. And you just keep thinking, and they don't like me. And the first thing, you'll be shunning that person when they haven't done nothing to you. Amen. And after a while, it'll become such a reality to you, you'll actually believe that person doesn't like you. You might bawl them out or say something to you, for instance, your wife or your husband or a neighbor or something like that, when the person's absolutely innocent of any ill thing. It's just because you imagined it so, till it become a reality to you. Now he said, you see what I mean? Has that ever happened with us? That's why it was in this part of that message and I wanted to include it, even though it had nothing to do with what we were talking about, because I thought it was good. Let's don't let our imaginations get carried away with us. Get to imagining, well, the pastor thinks this or the pastor thinks that about me. Faith once delivered to the saints, Brother Ram says, now while you're standing here, many of you weeping with tears rolling down your cheeks, that's the Holy Spirit. That's him on you right now, just wanting to fill your life. If the audience back there could only see this scene, standing here, young ladies, young men, elderly people, tears just rolling down their cheeks, the Holy Spirit is hovering. And here's the angel of God standing right. And it isn't 5 feet above their heads right now, the very angel you see on the picture, standing right here above them, not 5 feet over them, just ready to pour himself into every believer. You just believe it. Ask him and just accept it. Say, Lord, I believe you. And then you'll know when it comes, you'll feel the Spirit of God pouring into your heart. Then when you do, raise up your hands and thank him for it. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm so grateful you give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you'll feel the power of God surge through your body. You'll be a different person from that time on. Now, here's another part I want to touch on before we close today. Another commission. That there's angels that have a different commission. And Brother Branham says, and there's two different things I want to show you here. One's in thirsting for life. Brother Branham said, be honest with yourself. I say to you in Christ's name, we're in his presence right now. This group of people is sitting with eyes of the Lord looking upon them. If that isn't true, I'm a false prophet. God bless you, sister, right down here in the bottom rows. I see you. God bless you here, lady. Somewhere else in the building, anywhere, standing around, whatever. God bless you, lady, sitting back there in the balcony to the right. That's good. God sees your hand. There is a recording angel putting that right down. So as you in a service, you ever heard him say, if such and such you are experiencing this, raise your hand to God. You need something to God, raise your hand. Brother Ram says, there's an angel there that's recording down each hand that's been raised and what it was raised for. Huh. Isn't that something? Now, speaking about recording angels, I want to show you something else here in the mess of the perfection. Brother Am says, and he's talking about, now if you can remember, I'll kind of give you a little background. Brother Branham had been in one place and was going to have a meeting there, and he had left out of his room, and he went across the street over to some little cafe, some little restaurant. And when he got over there, there was this woman that was dressed all ungodly, and her and this man were doing things they shouldn't be doing out in public. And Brother Branham got to looking down on them and got to looking very condemning of them and said, God, I don't know why you don't just wipe them all off the earth. And then he had a vision. And in the vision, he saw the earth, and he saw this covered by blood, a blood buffer, he called it, that was covered, that was between the people and God, so that when God looked at the people, he had to look through the blood to see them. And Brother Branham, in this particular message, talking about that same incident, said, and as I stood looking, I got a little closer to him as I noticed him, and I could hear him say, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I looked down, and there lay a book, and there was a recording angel there standing by his side. And every time I sinned, it was put down on that book, and my name was on it. And I realized someday that blood would be lifted and I'd stand in the presence of God with my sinful life. But I seen by his mercy, he was holding off my judgment. And I went to him humbly and knelt on my knees and said, Oh Jesus, thou Son of God, I am unworthy to come into your presence, but will you please forgive me for what I've done? And he touched his side with his hand. And with the blood, he took the old book and wrote pardon on it and throwed it back behind him, and my sins were gone. Then he looked stern in my face and says, Now I've forgiven you, but you want to condemn her. He said, Then I seen what it meant. So there's two lessons we can take from this. One, there is a recording angel that takes down everything that's going on. And without the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't want to stand there with what been wrote in my book. I've preached about that book before in funeral services. And I said, once you die, that book's closed. And nothing can be taken away from it. Nothing can be added to it. But it's just as it stands. Whatever's been wrote, there it is. But does it have bloodstains across it? Wrote says pardoned. Oh, I pray that's what's on my book, don't you? And the other lesson to take from this is when you see different ones, don't look condemning down on them. Sometimes they don't know what you know. And perhaps if you weren't looking down your nose at them, you might be able to help them. If the Lord would so move you that way. Amen. Don't be so quick to bring judgment down on others. That was the example Brother Branham was giving us. And water from the rock, as musicians prepare to come, and Brother Nate, and I'm going to read this last quote. Water from the rock, he says, he hears the prayer of everyone that'll come humbly and ask. This great telephone connection we have, as it were, talking down the receiver, calling central. Jesus Christ asking to be purged into eternity, plugged into eternity. So calling central, asking to be plugged into eternity. Come, Lord Jesus, send your angels tonight. May they take up their positions at every seat, speak to the unsaved, those that are without Christ, going to a godless, Christless eternity, to a devil's hell. when Jesus Christ died to save them from such. Help tonight, and may the Holy Spirit just get into the Word and take it right out to every heart and divide it up as severally as we have need. I like that, what he was saying about getting a telephone connection, and said, this is us calling Central, asking to be plugged into eternity.
Amen.
I believe we can call him on the scene. There's a song we used to sing about Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. And I thought about that song when I read this. And I just thought that was wonderful. You can stand. Amen. I may, you just pray for me. I may have one more message on angels to wrap it all up. Because I've got a lot of pages that I still got left over that I had left over some pages from each message. And I thought maybe if the Lord would lead me, I'd take and kind of just put all those together and just kind of maybe give us, summarize the whole thing and cover a few things that maybe we didn't get covered in the messages of those so far. So just keep me in your prayers. Amen. I trust this has been a help to you, an encouragement to you. Do you know you're not alone? Even when you leave out of here, there's angels that go with you. You're not alone. Amen. God bless you.
God Almighty.
Dismissed.